We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
MSN basketball analyst Jay Jacobs recalls Don Vincent, who passed away earlier this week. Don was a 3-year starting guard for the Mountaineers, helping them to 3 straight Southern Conference championships and 3 NCAA tournament appearances from 1956 to 58. A native of Shinston, Vincent played in 86 career games, starting 68. He finished with 777 career points, including a 12.8 points per game average during his senior season. He was a 2016 inductee into the WVU Sports Hall of Fame, and Don was part of a great run of West Virginia natives who played for the Mountaineers during its golden era of basketball. Listen to what Jay had to say about Don coming up right after this.
West Virginia is a special place, but it's the people that make it special.
Honestly, it is the crowd. It's the people.
This is one of the great environments. There are no pro teams in the state of West Virginia. They love West Virginia sports right here.
This is the most underrated fan base in the country.
Grass Resource, state of West Virginia, is not coal. Grass Resource is its people.
Join the climb today at WVUtimeToClimb.com.
I'll tell you, John, about Don Benson. He would have been, to me, just playing with him. We all call him Vince as a nickname, but really, to me, he was what every coach would dream of having as a player. And I'm sure that if Fred was here today, he would, you know, he would say, okay, I'm penciling in Hundley, I'm penciling in West, I'm penciling in those guys. But I'll tell you, one of his top 5 guys before every game to put his name in the scorebook would be Don Vincent. He was just that type of player. And I think, to me, what was remarkable about him, he never brought you to your feet with a spectacular play. All he did was make every play, and he really did. He played both ends of the floor, and he was a terrific player. Really, he was.
So no one attribute you'd look at and say, "Wow, he just did everything solidly well," right?
Yeah, he did, and it looked like he was a player that was a little bit ahead of his time. In other words, I'm saying, could he play in the 80s? Could he play in the 90s? Yes, he could have, because he just never lost his cool. He had his demeanor on the court was terrific, and although he played with from 1955, 56, 56, 57, 57, 58, that was those great teams with Hundley in 55. But, John, his teams that he were on, they won over 70 games in 3 years. And especially facing up his senior year with that arguably the best team that ever West Virginia's ever put on the floor with Cher, All-American, and with Weston Smith up front and Vincent Gardner at the guards. But Don Vincent was that player that you could always count on, always count on.
So do you remember when he broke his leg over at Richmond in a
yeah, summer? I do. Yeah,
was it a was it a basketball play or was there something more sinister to it?
What I can remember, it was a basketball play, and I think if Fred Schaus was here talking to you today, he'd say that's a mistake I made because we had a big lead in that championship game, and Vince was on the floor and probably should not have been on the floor when he broke his leg. And the problem was in those days. We didn't have any time. We went directly from Richmond straight into New York City to play Manhattan. And we they just didn't make the adjustments. But that team was number one in the polls going in and 12-0 in the Southern Conference. Pretty daggone good team.
I don't know. In that system, I don't know if they had really a true point guard. They just played a two-guard offense then, right?
Yeah, two-guard offense. But it's mainly Jody with the basketball. Jody had the guard. He was really the guy that brought it up and did all things. Vince was the second guard, and that's what we called in those days. And we ran a play for him called second guard and where he could get his shot if he needed it. But he played within the system, John, which was so amazing about him. That's why I think today he could adjust to anybody.
The roles were clearly defined on that team, weren't they? And when Vince got hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. It messed up the rotation because we went in, and Willie was one of the guys. Akers was coming off the bench then, and Renton and Ballard and those guys were coming in if you need to pressure defense or whatever you needed. But that really threw it out of sync because Willie then started. Nothing against Willie. It just didn't adjust. Nobody had any time to really learn each other. And Vince was really missing that capacity because Smitty, I don't remember everything, but I think Smitty moved back to the backcourt so Akers could play up front with Wes and Lloyd, and then that's how it went.
Yes, and, you know, that team had what the 59 team that went to the finals didn't, and that was a big man.
Well, yeah, because we lost Lloyd, and then the 59 team, when we lost Cher, we had a guy named Bob Clawson out of Clarksburg, who did a good job. But he wasn't Lloyd Cher, and he wasn't the offensive player. He was a battler. He was rough. He played the way he needed to play. But in those days, it was West, and in that championship game, Jerry got off to not a great start, and Lee Patron didn't shoot very well, and we had problems against California. But then, John, we got down. We needed about 10 more seconds because Jerry really found the range then.
Do you remember much about the Manhattan game, the loss? Because from what I've read and what I've been told, Manhattan played a really physical style, and it really kind of irked our guys, and that's the reason we got all those fouls. We were kind of retaliating instead of just playing with it. Do you remember any of that?
I just remember it was a very, very physical game, but that was Manhattan's plan to do that.
Right.
Because they knew how good West Virginia was, and they knew the answer was to get us out of our regular normal. If you let us play our game with those guys up front and what we had, it's been very hard to beat us. So they did the opposite thing. They just came at us physically. And you're right, it became more of a frustration game than anything else. Then the shots didn't fall. They hit the front of the rim. They were off the side of the rim. And nothing went good. And then we sort of got down on ourselves. Before you knew it, the game was over and we had lost.
Yeah, and you believe that was the best team West Virginia ever had, right?
My opinion, yeah, I really do, because it had everything and it had depth off the bench. And I think it'd be very, very difficult. And people say, well, they asked me, Jay, what about the 2010 team that Hugs took to Indianapolis? Well, it was good, but I'm not so sure it had the great amount of depth that that team had then. And Jerry and I talked a little bit about it, but Jerry has a different feeling than what I had. I, being with West Virginia all these years and seeing the growth and the way the game has changed, Jerry said that team could play with anybody anytime in this era. And I don't know if we could or not, because there was a lot of zone defense then, John, and now the pressure defense is the way these athletes are today.
Was Don, did he have a big high school reputation, or was he just a solid player in Shippen?
You know what? That I thought about that a little bit, and now it really comes back more than anything. When you talk Shinston, you knew about two guys. You knew about Frankie Spatafore, who was ahead of them, Don Vincent, and Rice's Drugstore. That's the only things I remember about Shinston and the Rice's who owned the drugstore. But Vince was a player at Shinston High School, and I only played against him once when I was a sophomore, and he was so good then. But he was so smooth. But I'm not sure of this, but I don't think his teams ever made it to the state tournament. But we never mentioned what a good athlete he was, because I think he played football. I'm not sure what he did in the spring, if he played baseball. But he was an athlete that could do everything. And how he adjusted that, he didn't have when he came to West Virginia. To me, I don't ever remember him being that big physical guy that would knock you around or anything else. He was just so smooth with the way he played, and it made it so easy. The game came pretty easy to him.
You know, I thought it was one of the unique things about that period was that, you know, other than a half dozen guys over a 3 or 4 year span, all these guys came from little towns in West Virginia, coal camps or places like that. It all shared experiences. It was pretty unique.
Yeah, and all those guys, Renton from Fairview.
Right.
In Granttown. We had Bucky from Aurora. Bob Clarkson was Clarksburg. Myself, Morgantown, which wouldn't have been a bigger school. But when you went down in, you had Smith and West from Kanawha Valley. So you're absolutely right. I mean, those guys were all West Virginia guys, and very few guys. Cher was from Meadville, Pennsylvania, and I think Jody was from Elwood City. Two guys from PA. But most of those guys, John, we're all West Virginia guys in small towns. Butch Goose was from Little Pine Bowl, and Willie was from Logan. And those weren't big towns then. When I was little, I was going to the field house with my dad, and I saw guys like Eddie Becker and from Wheeling and Mitch Kupchak, and these guys all play. And I saw every state tournament from my six years old all the way up, so I knew all those players. Red Hunt, all those guys out of Charleston. Willie Bergenis, exactly. I knew them all. You had Jerome Van Meter as their coach, who was a legend coach. And then you had Wiseman down there that followed him. These guys were just great people and good coaches, so good. And Beckley had that idea of they were really the really good team. And I can remember being watching them come into the field house and watching them play and just seeing how good these players were.
You know, even the spillover. You know, Marshall had good teams with Leo Bird back then. And then even in the West Virginia Conference, they had teams that would go on to the national tournaments and play well. It was just a really good time of basketball in the state, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. And all those towns and those small schools all had a talented player. And you mentioned Heater earlier. He was one. But you had Carl Hartman at AB. You had all those guys. You had App Huey, who played at D&E. You take a little D with their school. And my dad and I would go up to Buckhannon. We'd watch 30 games a day. I mean, they'd bring all those teams into Buckhannon and from that conference, and it was so good. I saw George King play at Morris Harvey.
Morris Harvey, wow.
Yeah, he was at Morris Harvey. I saw all those guys play.
There was just a lot of good players, and Vincent played right in the middle of all that.
Yeah, he did. He was right there. But he was a guy that, like I said earlier in this conversation, he's a guy that Fred loved. He loved him because he knew what he could do, and he knew he played both ends of the floor. Wasn't spectacular, John, but the way he played, the way he handled himself, and it didn't matter. And I don't remember exactly what Smitty told you about Don having a hard time adjusting.
No. It was Smitty having a hard time adjusting to playing guard. When Don got hurt, he said he really struggled playing guard, and he was more comfortable playing near the basket.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay, because he got shoved into that backcourt because he didn't know how to play it going into New York, and he had one day.
And that was MSN basketball analyst Jay Jacobs recalling the wonderful career of Don Vincent. Thanks for listening to this special podcast.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.